about 3 years ago in high school chapel, I did a message on being ready. I enjoy taking words in the Bible and using a concordance and going through, finding all the words, the different Greek words that are used to translate into an English word or Hebrew if it's Old Testament there. And the one with ready that I did a few years ago, as we think about, as I mentioned this morning, school getting ready to start, and people ask the question all the time, are you ready? Or sometimes getting near Christmas, they'll say, are you ready for Christmas? And so as we go through the scriptures tonight, we're going to look at the word ready and several things for which we need to be ready as well. And so as we look at this, the dictionary, before we pray, I'll kind of give you a view of where we're headed with this. Sometimes when we look at the Bible and we see the word ready, it means quick, doing something quickly. Like the example here, give a ready response. It means that, you know, you've got to respond quickly there. Sometimes, you know, you have Bible drills, sword drills, you know, to see who can find it. You got to be quick. You got to be ready. You got to know where they are. So sometimes the word ready means to be quick. Then another word means to be prepared. We say in our English language, dinner is ready. And we all say, amen, that's good. I'd like for dinner to be ready. But it doesn't mean that it's quick. It means that it has been prepared. And so in one sense of the word, when the Bible teaches us that we need to be ready, there are certain things for which we need to be ready, prepared, that is. And then the third way we'll see this word used is the meaning of being willing. An example, the soldier was ready to die for his country. Now, he may have died quickly, it may have been soon, he may have been prepared, but the idea here is he was willing to do that. And so, for the things that we see in these verses tonight, maybe all three of these, you know, we need to be willing, we need to be prepared, we need to be quick about some things there. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll look at several verses. Most of them will be on the second one, being prepared there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and so much we learn from the Word about you, because that is how you have revealed yourself to us. Certainly you reveal some things about yourself in nature, but Lord, we find out more of who you are and your character and your plan for us through your Word. And so help us tonight to be ready to hear what you have for us. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. As we look, first of all, at the word quick, being ready or quick, let's begin by looking at Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17. It says, and refused to obey, talking about God's people, neither were mindful of the wonders thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and forsook them not. And so here we see that God is a God who is ready to pardon. He is quick to pardon. Whenever we come to the Lord to ask His forgiveness, He never says, let me think about it for a little bit. He never has to say, well, I got to get over this first. A lot of times in our forgiveness, you know, it's not so easy for us sometimes to forgive, and it takes time for wounds to heal and those kind. But with God, He's quick to pardon us right away. And whenever we see His forgiveness here, notice the 1, 2, 3, 4 that I have inserted within this verse. Those are not different verses. Those are four things that they were doing, and the Lord gave them forgiveness. First, they refused to obey. Secondly, they took His blessings for granted. They weren't mindful of His wonders. And that's a terrible thing for us, to take God's blessings for granted. The third thing that they did here, it says they hardened their necks. That means they were stubborn. But God still forgave them. And the fourth thing, it says here that they rebelled against the authority that he set up. They didn't like the authority that God had put in place, so in their rebellion, they appointed a captain to return to their bondage. And so in all of these things, they were so stubborn and rebellious, but yet God was ready to pardon them right away. In Psalm 86, well, let me finish from Nehemiah first. It says, "But thou art a God ready to pardon." And being ready to pardon, it goes on and tells us some descriptions about God as well, that he's gracious and merciful, he is slow to anger, he is of great kindness, and he forsook them not. And so they forsook him, they went their own way, they hardened their hearts and they were stubborn, but it didn't change who God was, and it didn't change his compassionate heart and his being ready to forgive. And God is that way. He is ready to forgive. Psalm 86:5 says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive." And that's the idea of being quick. And if we're going to be like Christ, and we should, for that is why he saves us, to conform us into his image, then we have to have that same characteristic of God and be ready to forgive those who have wronged us. They refused to obey. We saw in the previous verse, they took his blessings for granted. They hardened their necks. They rebelled against the authority he set up. And we have to be quick to forgive. Now we need to also, as you see up here, we have to be quick to confess too. If it's on the other side and we're the ones who are guilty, needing the forgiveness, we have to be quick to confess. And I've said before, that's what I think is one of the main characteristics of David that makes him a man after God's own heart. Even though he had sinned several times, the Bible tells us, he was quick to confess it and get it right there. And God is that way. God is quick to pardon. And aren't we glad that whenever we sin and we mess up, we can go to God and he forgives us. We don't have to do penance as the Catholics teach and earn God's favor and earn his forgiveness. It's ours for the asking. And God is quick. He's ready. He's kind of leaning over. Okay, I'm waiting. Confess and I'm ready. I'll forgive you as soon as you confess. And he does without fail. He always is quick to forgive us. Well, we need to not only be ready in the sense of being quick, but we need to be ready in the sense of being prepared. It means to be near or to be at hand sometimes, or even to approach, as we'll see. And we have more verses here that I'll share with you, so if you want to jot down the references, feel free to do so. There might not have time to copy down the whole verse, but at least get the reference. Ezra 7:6 says, "This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses." Doesn't mean that he was a quick writer, you know. There I am. I'm a pretty quick writer. Most people can't read what I write, but I write pretty quickly there. But he was a prepared scribe there in the law of Moses. The Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And so here we have to be ready or prepared to study God's word. And whenever we go to God's word, we don't necessarily have to be prepared of having a whole string of commentaries around us and a Greek concordance and all of these Bible aids, which are wonderful to use. But whenever we go to study God's word, we certainly have to have our mind ready for God to use it. God uses the mind and the heart, and the Bible are so synonymous there, the heart and mind being connected together. And so we have to be prepared to study and know God's word using our mind. And I have to do that when I'm studying a message. Whenever I'm preparing a message, it doesn't matter if it's Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. We have more people generally here on Sunday morning, but I don't spend more time preparing Sunday morning than I do Sunday night or Wednesday night. I still have to do the preparation, because it's not about how many people to whom we're going to minister. You know, whoever's here wants to hear from God. And we have to be prepared there from God's word. We need to be ready with our minds. Well, we go on to the next one. In 1 Peter 3:15, The Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We have to be ready. We have to be prepared. If someone comes to us and asks us about being saved, we have to be ready. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to be ready to answer any religious question they can have, because there are some things that we just won't be prepared to answer, because people can come up with some difficult questions. But we have to be ready to share our testimony. We don't have to have a whole list of verses memorized in order to be prepared to give a testimony. All we have to do is tell what the Lord did for us whenever we got saved. And of course, there are some verses that the Lord will bring back to memory as we're sharing our testimony with others. But we have to be prepared to witness for the Lord. I can tell people that I got saved when I was 9 years old at a youth camp in Chiral, and tell them how a friend of mine, Fletcher Smith, came and asked me if I wanted to go forward and ask the Lord to save me, and I did, and we went, and I knelt, and the Lord saved me. You know, that doesn't take a lot of memory. We are prepared to do that, to give a reason of the hope that is within us. Ecclesiastes, before that, notice it says, use your mouth. Last one we saw, or one before that, use your mind. So we have to be prepared and use our mind. We have to be prepared to use our mouth as well. In Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1, it says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. And so we have to prepare to hear God. Before we come to church, before we have our devotions, we say, God, speak to my heart. And so we have to have a mind that is prepared and ready. We have to have a mouth that's prepared and ready, but you know what we need here. We have to have ears that are prepared to hear there. And not just with our physical ears, but with the spiritual ears, the ears of our heart, that we hear what the Spirit is speaking to us. The Hebrew word here from Ecclesiastes 5 that is translated here is a word that means to approach. And so we approach God, and He approaches us. And you think of the fact of going face to face with God, being ready to hear what He has to say. If we come face to face with God, we ought to let Him do the talking. We ought to be ready to hear what He has to say to us. Then we move on to the New Testament, to another verse of being ready. Matthew 24, 44 says, therefore, be ye also ready. Be prepared. Why? In such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. The Lord's coming back, and we need to be prepared. We need to make sure, first of all, that we're saved, and when He comes back, we're prepared for the coming. But we also need to make sure that we've had that forgiveness. He's quick to forgive, and so we trust the Lord to save us. We trust the Lord to cleanse us, and one of these days, Jesus is coming back. And remember the story of the 10 virgins, and 5 were foolish, and they didn't have oil in their lamps, and Jesus came back in the story. And what happened? They weren't prepared. They were left behind there. And so we need to be ready for the Lord's coming. Whenever the Lord comes back and He comes through the clouds, it's going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. People aren't going to be able to say, oh, here comes Jesus, I got to get ready. It's going to be too late, because the Bible says it happens in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and it's too late for anyone to be prepared at that point in time. So we have to be ready before then. Moving on to Luke chapter 7, verse 2. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. We also need to be prepared to die. Hebrews says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And so we're all going to face a day that we die, and we need to be prepared for this. Remember, we said the word sometimes means to approach. And every day, here's wonderful news for you, you get a little closer to death. We approach death every day. So we ought to be more prepared today than we were yesterday. Be prepared to die. Now, we know the word ready means quick, and we might die quickly. We might have a long period of illness, but we need to be prepared to die. Think of the hymn that says, "Nothing between my soul and the Savior." And so that's how we're prepared, that we have everything confessed. God is quick and ready to forgive. And as soon as we confess, He forgives us. And He takes our sins, He casts them in the deepest sea, never to be remembered again. And therefore, we can be prepared for His coming there. We can be prepared for our death, whichever one may occur first. He might come. We might be taken in the rapture and not face death, but we need to be ready for that. Next one, Luke 22. Peter, he said, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." And here's Peter in Luke 22, 33. He says, "Lord, I'm ready to go. I'll go with you." But what happened right after that? He denied the Lord, didn't he? Now, he thought he was ready. He said he was ready there, but he wasn't. And so he found himself denying the Lord. And so we need to be ready to go wherever the Lord leads us. I had a nephew that left, I think it was yesterday, a great nephew technically, yesterday or today, I left to go to college. You know, and that's a tough time, not just for the students. Usually it's exciting for them. It's a tough time for us as parents, isn't it? Whenever they leave college and they go away from home there. And we have to be ready to go wherever God leads us. If God leads us to a new job, we have to be ready for that. If God leads us to go next door to our neighbor and share a word of testimony with our neighbor, we have to be ready for that as well. Peter thought he was ready, but he wasn't. He denied the Lord. And so we need to examine the heart to make sure we're prepared to go wherever He leads. And we can be confident of one thing. God will never lead us in a wrong place. Now, sometimes we choose like sheep to go our own way, but God always leads in a plain path. And when we follow His leading, He will always bring us to where He wants us to be. Acts 21, another word for ready, still in the concept of being prepared. Acts 21, 13. "Then Paul answered, 'What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready.'" Said the same thing that Peter said. "I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And so we need to be prepared to suffer for Christ, not only to die for Him, but to suffer. Suffer ridicule, suffer maybe losing our jobs. In America, we see on the news of those who refuse to bake for homosexual weddings or refuse to provide the flowers for that. They've been sued. Their business is threatened to close there because they had a testimony for Christ. Even the restaurant Chick-fil-A, you know, they start opening up some restaurants up north and you hear the ungodly crowd opposed to that there, suffering because of taking a stand for righteousness. We need to be ready. Paul was ready to be bound, and oftentimes he was bound. He was prepared. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work." We don't have to be in what we call full-time Christian service to work for God. You don't have to draw your paycheck from a Christian organization to be ministering for the Lord. We all must be ready to serve every good work, whether it's a good work of in the church, ministering to people, whether it's a good work with the homeless, or it doesn't have to be an organized program. Sometimes people wonder what kind of program can they be involved in. You don't have to have a program to be able to work for God. As you go out and witness and share Christ with others, we need to be ready for every good work, for meeting a need of a neighbor there. Be prepared and opportunities to be a blessing. 1 Peter 1:5, speaking of God's people, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. One of these days, we're going to be revealed. Christ is going to be revealed when he comes back. The Bible tells us that the man of sin, Satan, is going to be revealed. And here it says that we, God's people, ready to be revealed. And 1 Corinthians 5:13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest, that is, revealed. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed. And so we need to be prepared for our work that we're doing to be revealed, because it will be tested by fire. And the wood and the hay and the stubble and those kinds of works, they will be burned. But that which is gold and silver and precious stones will be purged and clean. And we are forgiven. God's work, when he comes into a heart and he saves us and forgives us, he never brings them up again. And so we don't have to worry about our sins being revealed, because they're taken care of there. But our works will be revealed by fire. Two more from prepared, and we'll go on to the last one. 1 Peter 4:5. It says, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. We saw earlier that God is ready to pardon, but he is also ready to judge. And whenever a person dies, that judgment has already been determined for him. There are two judgments in the scripture, the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. And we as Christians, we will stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. Those who stand before the great white throne, when they die, they can't get prepared for that. They end up at the great white throne judgment, and it's too late. They have to prepare beforehand to avoid the great white throne judgment. But we are prepared to be judged by the Lord, our works, and receive the rewards for that. The last one for being prepared is Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. At a wedding, of course, the bride is the last one to come in. They get the pastor and the best man and the groomsmen and the bridesmaids and all of that, you know, and waiting for the big event. And the music starts and everybody turns to the back, and here comes the bride in white, indicating the purity there. And so the Bible says that we are the bride of Christ, and we present ourselves to him as pure in white garments as well. Because whenever we get saved, he puts on us robes of righteousness there, and we are prepared there. One of these days, we will be as the bride of Christ walking through the door. It will be time for Christ to present his bride to the Father there. And we must be prepared and ready with garments of white. Now let's move on to the third one. Not only quick and prepared, but willing. Three verses that I share here. 2 Samuel 15:15. And the king's servant said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatever my lord the king shall appoint. And so being ready or willing to do whatever, ready to obey. Brother Ray was sharing a story with me the other day. We were talking, and he was telling how one day he went to a man's house, and he and his wife were eating, and he said, "I need you to do a favor for me." And the man, and I won't go into all the details that Brother Ray shared with me, but the man was eating, and he put his napkin down, and he just got up and left. He didn't know what it was, but he was ready to help in whatever way that he could there. And that's what the Lord wants from us. Oftentimes we want to hear what it is first, but we can trust the Lord. When he asks us to do something, he's never going to ask us anything that we can't do. Because if God calls us to do something, he will equip us to do what he's called us to do. Remember at the wedding where the disciples came to Mary, and what did she say? "Whatever he says to you, do." And that's what we see here in this verse from 2 Samuel. "Thy servants are ready to do whatever the Lord my king shall appoint." And there should not be any job that is too small for us. And there should not be any job that is too big or too dirty. We should be willing to do whatever, ready and willing to obey. 1 Timothy 6:18. They do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And this is being willing to give. Christianity is all about giving, isn't it? Because God gave his son. And Christ gave, and he gave, and he never did anything for himself. Everything he did was to give for others. And we need to be willing to give, to distribute, is the word here in 1 Timothy, or willing to communicate. That doesn't mean talk to other people. It means to give to other people. We must be willing to give back to the Lord. And the third verse, 1 Peter 5:2. It says, "Feed the flock of God which are among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly." There's the willingly. "Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." And this has to do with our attitude of service. Not like, what's in it for me? Notice this one comes from Peter's book. And remember earlier in Peter's life, whenever he heard the Lord say that those who leave father or mother, you know, they're the ones that are going to be honored and blessed. And Peter said, "Lord, we left everything. What's in it for us?" But then later in Peter's life, he was there and a beggar comes by and Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you." Peter had learned that he needed to be willing to give back to the Lord. And he did learn the lesson. Now, in conclusion, another verse, 2 Timothy 4:6. "For I," this is Paul writing, "I am ready. I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Here he was, prepared to die. He knew it was about time to die, and he was ready to go. He had made his confession to the Lord. He had gotten right with the Lord. He was willing to go too. He said, you know, he needed to stay behind. He said, "For me to stay behind is better for you, and it's better for me to go ahead." And he's ready. And I think about this verse, and Jesus didn't say this. Of course, this was Paul. But Jesus could have said this very same thing before he left heaven to come to earth. He could have said, "I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Before he left heaven, he was ready and willing to come to be offered at Calvary's cross. And he was going to depart the glory of heaven and come to a sin-cursed earth and to a people that would hate him and reject him. And here is Paul now. He's prepared, he's willing, he's ready to go. And we need to be ready to offer our lives to God. We need to be willing. We need to be prepared. We need to be quick to offer our lives to God. And one more verse before we finish. Romans 12:1. You're familiar with this verse. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What is reasonable for us? To be ready, to be prepared to do whatever the Lord has for us, to be willing to obey and to be quick to obey. Someone has said delayed obedience is disobedience, and we need to be ready to offer him our lives. Oftentimes we use the terminology with people getting saved, give your heart to Jesus. And that's correct, we do that. But he doesn't want just the heart to save us. He wants the life, doesn't he? He wants to take our life and use us. And we must be ready, prepared and willing and quick to go and to work, to serve, to witness, to be ready to die, to be ready to be presented as the pure bride of Christ. We need to be ready for the Lord.